What do you do when life gives you a lemon? Well, the old saying goes that you make lemonade. Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we have a very special guest. His name is Jim Stovall. He's a successful American writer. He wrote a book called The Ultimate Gift, which was made into a movie by James Garner. He's the founder and president of the Narrative Television Network. He was chosen as International Humanitarian of the Year. Steve Forbes said that Jim Stovall is one of the most extraordinary men of our era. And it's my understanding, Jim, that you got the bad news as an adult that you were going blind. Welcome to the program, and tell us what happened. And part of the reason that makes me even think about this is there was a young woman, 35 years old, had her whole life ahead of her, Fox News affiliate meteorologist, newly married, two kids. Then through LASIK surgery that went bad, she discovered she was going to be blind, and she threw away her life. She killed herself just about a month ago. And here you had a similar situation where you were going blind, but you chose a different route. Welcome to the program, and tell us your story, sir.
Well, it's great to be with you. Thank you. I grew up and had a fairly normal childhood, and as a teenager and young adult, I had no ambition greater than I wanted to be an All-American football player and then go into the NFL and make my living playing ball. And the coaches and the scouts and the people that monitor those sorts of things assured me that I had the size and speed to do that. So I thought my life was pretty well in hand. And then 1 year before going to play another season of football, I was diagnosed with a condition that would cause me to lose my sight. And I was just at a routine physical to go play another season. So I totally caught me unaware. And they told me they weren't sure why at the time, and they weren't sure when, but they did know that I was going to be totally blind, and there was nothing they could do about it. And so over the next, that was 17 years old, nearly 18, and between then and the time I was 29, I just slowly lost more and more of my sight, and then at age 29, I woke up and had lost the remainder of my sight. And from then till now, which is 30 years, I have been living my life as a blind person.
Wow. When you say another season, does that mean you were actually playing professional football? Or
no, I was in college. I was in college.
Oh, okay. Okay. But wow. And you had about a 10-year warning, in a sense, that you were going to be going blind. And you have taken this in a way where you have provided a service, a television-type service, related to blind people. Tell us about that. And it's a direct outgrowth of your condition.
Yeah, when I did finally wake up and I was totally blind, I didn't know what I was going to do. So I moved into this little 9-by-12-foot room in the back of my house and had my radio, my telephone, my tape recorder. That was my whole world. I thought I'd never leave there again. The thought of traveling millions of miles and speaking to people in arena events or running a television network or writing 40 books and having 8 of them turned into movies or talking to you on this broadcast, that would have seemed impossible to me then. So I was sitting in this little room, but before I had gone blind, that room had been our television room. So across the room there from me was a TV and a video player and some of my favorite movies. And one day, out of just sheer boredom, I put on an old movie. It was actually an old Humphrey Bogart film I loved. And I thought, I'll be able to listen to this and kind of follow along. But then, somebody shot somebody and somebody screamed and the car sped away and I forgot what happened. And I said the magic words. I said, somebody ought to do something about that. And the next time you get frustrated and you hear yourself say, somebody ought to do something about that, you just had a great idea. And over a period of months and years, I got out of my little room, and I eventually got some colleagues and started a company called Narrative Television. And we make movies and television accessible for our nation's 13 million blind and visually impaired people and millions more around the world. And basically, we take any TV show or movie or educational program, and in between the dialogue of the characters, we add one more voice, the voice of our narrator, who describes the action and settings and the visual elements of the show so that blind people can hear what they can't see. And now it's available on everywhere in the country on all primetime programming. You can, you know, on the major networks, any primetime show during is available, and you just push a button on your TV called Second Audio Program or Languages or whatever it's called on your particular television model, and you'll hear this voice we create.
That is fascinating. So it's kind of like what closed captioning is for those who are hearing impaired.
Exactly.
This is for those who are sight impaired.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm curious. I love Humphrey Bogart movies. What was the movie in question?
It was called The Big Sleep, a Philip Marlowe film.
Oh, wow.
It's called The Big Sleep, yeah.
Yeah, that's fascinating. That's a great thing. Now, you say there's 13 million Americans that are either blind
or visually impaired, yeah. 13 million people who have a visual disability serious enough to impair they're watching television or movies or educational shows, yeah.
You say you've written 40 books. Did you do all that since you were blind?
Yeah. I'm embarrassed to tell you and your listeners, when I could read with my eyes like most of your listeners do, I don't know that I ever read a whole book cover to cover, but after losing my sight, I discovered audiobooks and was part of an experiment on high-speed digital audio listening. And so I can listen to books at extreme high rates of speed. And so I went from where I don't know that I ever read anything. I was an athlete and didn't care. And now, over the last 30 years, I read a book virtually every day. Every day I read an entire book. And becoming a reader made me want to be a writer. And so about 20 years ago, I wrote my first book. And I just finished number 47 yesterday.
Wow.
A business book I wrote. So... And eight of my books have been turned into movies.
Oh, that's fantastic. One of which, of course, was The Ultimate Gift. That had James Garner. That girl, that little girl, Abigail Breslin, was that her first movie?
Breslin. Yeah, she was fabulous. Abigail, we couldn't get that part cast, and we were just about to start shooting, and somebody said she had made another movie, but it hadn't come out yet, and basically, I told her, you know, hey, if the girl's vertical at all and can do anything, we got to hire her because we have to start. And we hired Abigail Breslin. And while we were shooting our film, The Ultimate Gift, her previous film, Little Miss Sunshine, came out, and for which she got nominated for the Academy Award. So everybody in Hollywood thought I was a genius, when really it was just a divine intervention or desperation on my part.
Yeah. Now, you're a Christian, right? And you write these books from a Christian perspective. Where does Christ fit into your testimony here?
Well, you know, I grew up in a Christian home, and like a lot of people did, but I would call my early years religious. You know, we went to church, we did all those things, and religion is great, right, until you come up against a crisis. And as soon as you come up against a crisis, you better go from religion to relationship. And that's what I did. When I was diagnosed I was going to lose my sight, I realized you know, just my religious thing of going to church every week and checking the box and singing the song and doing the thing, that wasn't cutting it. I needed a relationship. And I will never forget, I'd been diagnosed, I was going to lose my sight, and it was going fast, but I could still see to get around on my own. And I just got up one morning and I just said, God, if you are real, you better show me today that you're for real and that there's still a plan for my life. Yeah, I mean, if you can imagine the audacity to tell Almighty God, I'm giving you a day, you know, like, but that's what I did. And the state fair had come to town that year. And I'd always been playing football during the fall when the state fair was here, but this year I wasn't because I'm losing my sight. So I went to the fair, and I reminded God, you got until sundown to show me you're for real and there's a plan for my life. And thankfully, he is endowed with grace and mercy much more than justice, because we're all blessed that we receive the gift that we have instead of what we deserve. So I went to the fair. And there was an exhibition going on there from the Olympic team. And I remember they had the gymnasts and the runners and all the different people. And then they brought out the weightlifters. And I watched those guys, and I thought, now that's something I could do even if I was losing my sight. And 3 years later, I was a national champion and got to finish my career as an Olympic weightlifter. And then I left that exhibition, and I walked down the midway there, and there was a big pavilion, an arena there, and it said free concert. And I didn't know who was playing or what was going on, but free really fit my budget. So I went in and sat on the front row, and there was nobody else there. I had no idea when this show was going to start or who was playing. But I sat there, and I thought about those weightlifters, and I thought about God, and I prayed, and I said, God, I need to know today that you got a place for me and that there's something I can do. And I was so intent on my thoughts and prayers that the arena filled up around me. And the first thing I ever really remember hearing in my consciousness was a voice I will never forget that said, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the State Fair, the one, the only, the legend, Ray Charles. And they brought Ray out, and he was about 10 feet away from me where I was sitting on the front row.
Oh, wow.
And Ray was magic. And I said, okay, God, I get it. You know, a blind guy can do some stuff here. And I figured Ray's kind of got this music thing covered. I better go do something else. So I started my company and wrote a book. And 10 years later, I was speaking at Madison Square Garden in New York for 18,000 business leaders from around the world. And the promoter said, I'd like to hold you over and do another event. And I agreed. And he said, well, if you're going to stay in town, I have another act. And I was trying to think of a way to tell him, you know, I'm totally blind. I'm not comfortable out in public, particularly in New York City, even with the people that travel with me. But I was trying to be polite. And I said, well, who's your act in town? He said, I got Ray Charles opening in Carnegie Hall tomorrow night. I said, yeah, I'll be there. And I got to see Ray again, and I went backstage, and that was the beginning of a great friendship that continued until his death. And the last time Ray and I were together, just a few days before he died, he said, what do you think an angel looks like when we get to heaven? I said, I think they look a lot like Ray Charles, because I remember when I needed to know there was a God and he was for real, and Ray showed up, and that changed my world. And that's all about going from religion to relationship.
And when Ray showed up, at that point, you could still see something, right? Is that right?
I could see him, yeah.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh. What are your thoughts about that story I mentioned at the very outset about the meteorologist that had her whole life ahead of her?
It's such a sad story, but it happens, because I know that feeling, that instant you're blind, and, you know, and she, God love her, did not have the... I mean, I had 10 years to get ready, and it still nearly killed me.
Yeah.
I mean, just to think you're going in for LASIK and end up blind, that's beyond imagination. And they do have, now, unfortunately, there's a lot of people getting into the LASIK business, and there's a lot of price pressure to do it cheaper and faster. But the responsible people that do that, they do one eye, and they wait 6 months and do the other. So even if it's a total catastrophe, the most you could do is lose one eye. And so hopefully they'll do away with that practice of doing both at once.
Yeah, wow. Okay, you mentioned you have 8 books turned into movies. By the way, we only have 1 minute left. What are the 7 others, if you don't mind just rattling off the titles?
The Ultimate Gift was made into a trilogy, The Ultimate Gift, The Ultimate Life, The Ultimate Legacy, that finished that story. Then I did a book called The Lamp with Academy Award winner Louis Gossett Jr. turning it into a movie. And then A Christmas Snow. And then a movie called New Life. And then just finished a film called Think and Grow Rich, The Legacy, about the life of Napoleon Hill.
Oh, wow. Okay. Anything else you want to say in the last half minute? And by the way, I'll refer people to your website. It's Jim Stovall.
You know, just that, if God can do this for me, there's provision for anybody. And the biggest dream you ever had is alive and well, and he's already made the provision. He would not have put that dream inside of you if you didn't have the capacity to achieve it.
Wow, that's great. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us. This has been very motivational and inspirational. And let me again say, Jim Stovall, STOVALL.com. Thank you, and God bless you, sir. And